In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was made flesh and became the Word alive. Today, His words are being shared by the radio ministry of Clinton and Sarah Utterbach, sponsored by the Redeeming Love Christian Center of Nanuet, New York. Join Clinton and Sarah Utterbach now on Listen to Jesus.
Listen to Jesus. Say what Jesus said. Keep looking at Jesus. And do what Jesus did, and it will turn your life around. And you will turn this world around.
Hello out there. I'm Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
We're continuing in the message for this week called Eligible to Serve Christ. And it's from our pastoral series that's been going on for some time now. And we're excited about the series, and we certainly hope that you are. Eligible to Serve Christ is one of the messages that we culled out of the things that Paul had to say to Timothy. Timothy was his protege. Timothy had been a number of places as Paul made his missionary journeys around in Europe and Asia. And there were so many things that are significant for us today because Paul punctuated his information to Timothy by saying that in the last days certain things would happen, and we're living in those last days. So we're sure you might be interested in what he had to say.
I think I want to start off tonight. Of course, you all know that you can turn to 1 Timothy, and we're in the second chapter now. And we had gone through the first 8 verses, which primarily talked to us about prayer. And then we began at a very controversial section of that passage of Scripture that has caused more stuff in the body of Christ than anything I know. And that's the portion starting at the 9th verse that talks about women. Women's. And here's what I want to say in beginning. The Scriptures must be looked at in terms of the context of what is being said, who it's being spoken to, but also the culture to whom it is being addressed. I said to somebody one time, it is so sad that every picture you see of Jesus Christ, he's got on a long robe, he's got long hair, and he's got sandals on his feet. And some people are so religious, they would expect that if he turned up on 42nd Street in the middle of a blizzard, in the middle of the winter, he'd have on a robe and sandals and long hair, no hat, no gloves, nothing. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus acted just like everybody else. He came to identify with the race of man as well as to demonstrate what God was like. So he wore a robe because that's what people wore. He wore sandals because that's what people wore, right? He did what people do, but he demonstrated that while being human, he could also be divine. For his whole purpose was to show humanity that we have a part in divinity. So when the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, got around to writing these verses that we're going to read about women and so on and so forth, he was dealing with a particular culture. Last week, we heard that in the Jewish tradition in those days, women did not even sit in the same place with men in the sanctuary. They were not educated. They had no status. And so from time to time, people being newly saved and the whole thing being new to them, when the ministers would begin to teach, some of them would call out to their husband, what does he mean by that? And it wasn't being disrespectful. It was because they wanted to know and they didn't know. And the only person they knew to learn it from was their husbands. And they weren't sitting with their husbands, and sometimes it would cause confusion. In the same way that the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 addresses order in the church, is what is being addressed here. And so I want to say this, and then I'll let Pastor Sarah, she has a lot more to down than I do. But speaking of culture, Brother Hagin, in a book that he wrote called The Women Question, made two statements that I think are important where women's fashions are concerned. He said, today we see that fashion has a greater power over women than does a sense of modesty. And I added, that is because sex appeal is power. It's power. And women know it's power. Okay? So they succumb to looking sexy rather than looking modest. For what reason? It gives them a certain power over men. And then he said, even worldly men have been shocked by the scantiness of the clothing worn by many women professing to be Christians. It bothers them that you call yourself a Christian and you don't look any different than the floozies that they hang out with. All right? I'm going to leave it there. Go ahead.
Before we continue in Timothy, let's quickly run over to 1 Corinthians 14. There are just a couple of verses there because people are a little bit confused about this. Starting in verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 14, it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Let the women keep silence in the churches, for it is not permitted unto them to speak, but they are commanded to be under obedience, as also saith the, everybody please underline the word law. Under the law, that's what they were commanded to do. And if they will learn anything, let them ask their husbands at home, for it is a shame for women to speak in the church. As Pastor Clinton just pointed out, they used to yell across this petition, wanting to know, A.B., you know, A.B., what do you mean by that? Okay? But then it says in verse 36, what is the first word and what is the punctuation behind that? What? What in a... What? Came the word of God out from you, or came it unto you only? And if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant still. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy, and forbid not to speak with tongues, and let all things be done decently and in order. He inserted in there that little part about women because there was such controversy. Remember, there was the Roman women, the Greek women, and the Jewish women all now coming into the church. The church age was inserted and dropped right into the middle of all of them. And here they come with their baggage and their garbage and their traditions and their habits and all. And Paul is trying to get some order in the church. But he was trying to do it in such a way, in a peaceful way, rather than just stir them all up. Okay, I just wanted to show you that, and we'll come back to that a little bit later. But let's get over to Timothy, because I really do believe that I received something from the Lord tonight that I think is going to help enlighten all of us. 1 Timothy, the second chapter, let's read verses 8 through 15 together. I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Remember, we talked about that earlier. Underline that everywhere, that men pray everywhere, doing what? Lifting up their holy hands. When you're lifting up their holy hands, as Minister Marlene said, what are you saying to God? Amen. So anywhere you are, everywhere that you are, when you're lifting up your holy hands to Almighty God, you're saying, I honor you, I thank you, I'm reverencing you. And anytime you lift up your hands in worship to God, anywhere, he's seeing that as you recognizing that he is your source of supply for everything, all right? And it says, without wrath or doubting, and those two words mean anger and discussion. So lift up your hands, thanking God, praising him, without anger and without discussion, without wrath and doubting. Well, look, let's go on. Now, verse 9. In like manner, or in the same way also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold apparel or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness and sobriety. We could preach 2 weeks on just the last verse there, but we're going to take this thing as the Spirit of God gave it to me today. Let's go back over there to Timothy. Men and women, this whole chapter starting at the second part of this chapter, starting at verse 8 right down to the conclusion, is talking about the men and women and their responsibility in the church. You agree with that? That's what it's talking about. Okay. Verses 11 and 12. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Well, now we think we know what those verses mean, but I personally sat there this afternoon and I looked up just about every one of those words. The word learn there means, first of all, in any way or to understand. To understand. She was supposed to be there to gain understanding. And it says, do it in silence, which meant stillness, ceasing from the busyness or the bustle and language, in subjection. Well, what does the word subjection mean? But she was supposed to learn in submission to what? To what she was learning.
We feel honored that God has granted us the privilege of bringing you today's message. Our commitment to share the life-changing gospel of Jesus Christ deepens daily.
Listen to Jesus is heard on 5 of the earth's 7 continents, but there is still more land to be possessed for the kingdom of God. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus gave the directive to go into all the world and make disciples of men. We were motivated to do just that through the Listen to Jesus broadcasts.
If you're interested in a cassette copy of this week's broadcast, send in $6, making your checks and money orders payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center.
If you live in the United States, you may also use your Visa or MasterCard by calling our toll-free number at 888-490-RLCC. That's 888-490-RLCC. If you have access to the internet, you may listen to the broadcast at any time on www.redeeminglovecc.org. That's www.redeeminglovecc.org.
And if the teaching you hear on this program is having a positive effect on your life, you have an opportunity and a spiritual responsibility to join us as co-laborers by becoming a regular contributor.
When you give, God blesses you with a financial return according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Mail all of your correspondence and make your financial contributions payable to Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. Once again, that's Redeeming Love Christian Center, Post Office Box 577, Nanuet, N-A-N-U-E-T, New York, 10954. And remember to include the call letters of this station when you write. Until next time, this is Clinton Utterbach.
I'm Sarah Utterbach.
And we're reminding you, God is alive and well,
and His word will work for you.